Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's get to Schrag and get to some combine stuff. Schrag, you at the combine?
I'm here in Indianapolis, Mike.
All right. First, let me get back to the double back. Have you spent any time with the Ram coach or quarterback since the game?
Of course. We've been canoodling the last 3 weeks. No, yeah, I have. I actually
you
spent
have?
Some time with him this week. I was very curious to see how he would take that bitter pill. I actually asked him.
Well, let me start
up.
With the bitter pills. Let me start with the quarterback who had, let's be honest, one of the worst days in the history of the Super Bowl, the quarterback. He was dreadful. How was he, and to his credit, I give him a lot of credit. He owned up to it after the game. He took the brunt of it. He took it on himself. He said he cost his team the game. He said everything right. Everything right. How has he handled what had to be a very, very tough to swallow defeat?
I can't speak for the quarterback. I could speak for the coach. He said.
Well, give me this. Have you sensed anything from the quarterback yet as far as how he's handling things?
Yeah, the quarterback is going to be okay. He's 24 years old, and I could tell you that he was out socially in L.A. He's not sitting there as a hermit. I mean, he's been out and enjoying life and getting back to this, and he's going to be just fine. But, yes, very mature of him to kind of take it on him. But the coach, Sean McVay, is putting it all on him, and he's saying
right.
He was out coached.
He was.
He was out. You know,
he had a miserable game. He had a miserable game, and I was furious. Absolutely. And I'd love to discuss this with him. I've never had him on, but I got to try and get him on to discuss this.
Let me hear what, third and 22?
Furious. You cannot. Play that way in the Super Bowl. You have
22.
Got to try and make a play. You have got to. There's too many ways you can keep the ball to turn around and give it to a great quarterback at that juncture of the game. You have got – how many plays did they make over 20 yards this year? Probably more than almost any team in the league. You have got to attempt to attack the play at that play. You cannot. You can get a penalty and get a holding call. You can get so many things. That give-up down bothered me so much, I can't tell you.
It irked everyone, and it kills him. I talked to him about it. You know, he said, of course he wanted it back. But then, not to make excuses either, but he said, you know, everyone's going nuts about Gurley, and why not use Gurley? He goes, Gurley ripped off a 23-yard run when it was 3-3 in the third quarter, and they called it back for holding. If he has a 23-yard run there, we get going. The Gurley thing is a story.
I'm not even into Gurley. I think Gurley was probably hurt, and I think we've heard now he was. And I thought in warm-ups he was hurt. I had a great seat, and I thought in warm-ups he was limping. So I thought the guy was hurt. I'm not even bringing Gurley up. I just cannot. I was so annoyed sitting there when he gave up on that down because I said, you just can't at that point of the game. It just drove me crazy. But listen, the other thing was I just really felt that he did not – the thing I think that's got to haunt him is he let them dictate the way the game was going to be played, and he kept the game in a very tight box against a team that just doesn't have any team speed, which I was very perplexed by.
Look, I can't talk the X's and O's as well as you and him. I'm not going to try. I will say this. At halftime, Andy Reid adjusted and put 31 points on the Patriots in the AFC Championship game after scoring none.
Right.
At halftime, the Rams, they came out and they scored zero, and Sean is living with it every day. He was on our show, so we did the stuff on
camera. Well, Andy's got better weapons, too, to be fair. He's got better weapons.
Of course he does,
yeah.
But there was no adjustments, and, you know, McVay went to Hawaii for a couple of days to kind of detox on it. He couldn't get it out of his mind.
Well, you know what Andy did? Andy found the matchup. He had his kid realize there's a matchup there that they can't handle, and he found it every time in the second half. And that's really what it came down to.
The running back out of the backfield. Yep.
And the third defensive back who couldn't guard anybody. And that's basically it. And that they couldn't cover it. And they tried to cover it up as much as they could. They couldn't. He didn't have the weapons. I agree with that. But the thing that bothered me was they played the game away from their speed. They never spread them out. They never tried to use their speed horizontally in the game, which bothered me because they have a lot of speed. And let's be honest, the quarterback missed a lot of open guys. He did. He had open guys.
He did. And the shame of it all is Wade called maybe the best defensive game of his career.
Oh, what a great performance. I'm telling you, the game of his life, and actually better than the Patriots, the game of his life, his defense played utterly brilliantly in that game because the Rams had open guys. The Pats didn't. The Rams had open guys. Yeah.
And you know, McVay, I was talking with him, and I said, I know he's a free agent. I go, but Ndamukong, and he cut me off. He goes, Ndamukong Suh played his absolute ass off the playoffs. He was our best player on defense.
He did play well.
You know, suited, and I made this analogy. It's just almost like an NBA player taking off the season, and the playoffs came along, and Sue decided to turn it on. He was great, and Donald was great. Fowler was great. That's the shame of this. And McVay says it. He's like, you know, if you think we're just going to wake up and say, okay, let's get back on the horse, he's like, we're losing a lot of key guys. We can't keep them all. They were all on short-term deals.
Right.
We got to do a whole new thing, and it's hard to get back going, but that's just what the hamster wheel is.
Well, here we are. Is there anyone they've said, Sue's gone,
they're
right?
Not going to be able to afford Sue. I think
right. Sue's gone, right? Sue's gone.
In.
And I'm afraid to sign Sue if I'm another team because I just don't know if he's going to play that hard.
Sure, you don't know. And, you know, he didn't play hard until, I mean, I'm not saying he didn't play hard, but he didn't play well until the end of the season. And the other guy is a guy that maybe isn't a household name, but was a big glue guy there is Roger Saffold. He's an offensive lineman for the Rams. He's one of the guards.
Yep.
And he's going to want a big deal.
Right.
You go down
and Whitworth
list,
is coming back, right?
Games.
Is he on a new contract, Whitworth, this year?
No, Whitworth was still under contract.
Okay.
They all assumed he was retiring.
And he's coming back, which is a plus, big plus, yeah.
It's huge. And
they're
going to have a hard time coming back because, you know, the Saints are going to be better next year. The Vikings with Cousins in their second year, and the Bears are coming back. So
how has the young coach handled that? Because that was a tough day for him. How did he handle that? And the league loved it because, you know, the league loved that he got his comeuppance.
We talked about that.
Yes. Yeah.
He got his lunch service. I said, you know, you were the golden boy for 2 years. Now you were the joke. I mean, he said it was his worst day professionally that he's ever had. And, you know, and it's a shame that it was in front of 200 million people.
It happens. You know what? But he's tough enough. I think he's tough enough and good enough to handle it. And it won't be over for him. It's not this day's, that day's, and we're talking with Peter Schrager, that day's not going to be over for him until he is at the Super Bowl looking up as the seconds tick off and he's 1-1. It's not going to be over until then. Until then, he's going to carry that game.
He knows it. And, you know, Mike, I think your listeners will appreciate it if I say it, but, like, you know how it is when people are coming at you and all this stuff. And I don't know how you handle it, but, you know, competitors and whatnot, he loves it. He brings it. He's like, good. Let them want to get me, and let them have their laugh now because I'm coming with a vengeance. And
I love it.
If you can react that way, great. You know,
I love it. You know what? That's the way to do it. That is the exactly the way to do it. All right, let's get to the combine. What is the buzz that Arizona is actually going to really take this quarterback?
Yes, it's. I mean, I don't think I ever throw stuff at the wall with you. It is as real as it gets, Mike. Murray to the Cardinals. I would put my name, my reputation on, as of right now, that seems to be more likely than unlikely.
And Rosen evidently has basically clean. I mean, he thinks he's out of Arizona. I mean, he's been telling people he's out of Arizona, from what I understand. So where do you think he goes?
I don't know what the – okay, so this is actually a good test for Josh Rosen. This is probably a tough pill for him. Here's a guy that every knock on him last year was his personality, his toughness, and whether he was a team guy.
Right.
So how are you going to handle this when everyone's linking your new coach to another quarterback and you're kind of – just being discarded? And if it's true that, you know, his Instagram was hacked, whatever, he's sensitive, I think it's a real interesting test. If he can come and be classy and graceful and dignified and say, good, let me start anew, or let me be the quarterback of the Cardinals, it's a good test for him. The question is Josh Rosen better than Murray? Is Josh Rosen better than Haskins? Is Josh Rosen better than Drew Lock, who are the top quarterbacks here? Because if you view Rosen as the second-best quarterback in this draft or the third-best quarterback in this draft, and you have a current starter or you're a team that needs a quarterback, he might be on the market. Do you trade and go get him? The marketplace for Josh Rosen will be interesting because I think everyone agrees he can throw the ball. Question is he going to excite the fan base, and is he going to win games, and is he the face of a franchise-type guy?
Agreed. Fast, and I think you might be able to not steal him, but at least get him a little bit below market value right now.
If you're the Giants, and you've got the 6th overall pick in this amazing defensive draft, right? All these guys are great.
Yep.
Do you not think about giving maybe a second-round pick for Josh Rosen and maybe another player and say, okay, let's get the quarter – instead of worrying about Haskins, who we not – get Rosen, take a defensive guy or an offensive tackle with the 6th overall pick, and then you give up a second round. I think it might be fine to give up a second-rounder and a player for Josh Rosen. And if I'm a Giants fan, learn from Eli, and then Josh Rosen.
A lot
well
of these
the
teams, a lot of these teams liked Rosen last year. I'm telling you, a lot of them liked Rosen. The one question they had about him was, well, two questions that I heard. One was that he won a great team guy, rich kid, the whole thing. Number two, that his father, who is a very prominent neurosurgeon and was almost a surgeon general, was not keen on him being a long-term football player. And if he got hit in the head once, he was going to be gone because his father was going to shut him down. So that was always the theory that I heard about him. So I don't know how much is true and how much is not true, you know?
There was real adversity with that Arizona team last year. They stunk. He had the worst offensive line in football. They fired the offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy, 6 weeks in. And everyone to a man, and I don't hold water for any of these kids. I call it like it is. Said this kid handled it with a lot of class and did not complain and did not cry about it and was totally on board. And when they hired Kingsbury, he was the first one to be excited and say, all right, let's go, let's get on. So all early signs are that he is capable of being that guy. But if Kingsbury – and I'll just go through it real quick with you. Kingsbury recruited Kyler Murray at a high school, right, and he wanted Kyler Murray to be at Texas Tech. And then when he was transferring from Texas A&M, he recruited him again to come to Texas Tech, and then he coached against him at Oklahoma and got lit up by him. Like, Kingsbury and Kyler Murray have a seven-year relationship of knowing each other. And if you're Rosen, you can't be sensitive in this industry if that's the case. They got a quarterback and a college coach who know each other. All right, just get me going, and let's see where I end up. I tell you, Mike, here on the ground, I think it's more likely than unlikely that they go with Murray and they shop Rosen.
I think this new coach has staked his career on this player. I mean, the way he's talked is he has talked unabashedly about this player. So he is all in, I think, on this player, which makes this fascinating, which also means if you are the Jets, you're going to get one of these two pass rushes is going to fall in your lap. Which is
Bosa perfect. And Allen are supposed to be generational.
They're
players.
Both good. They're both higher than anyone else from everything I've heard from everyone. So if that's the truth, those two, one of them's falling to the Jets, and the Jets are going to get a sweet player with the third pick.
Real quick, everyone can talk about Bosa, he's the younger brother, all that stuff. The Allen kid is fascinating, and this is a story I heard from an executive last night at dinner. He was a junior at Kentucky, and he had seven sacks, and there was talk he could be a late first, early second round pick because he's one of these athletic freaks. The combine, he can jump up, maybe be a top 10 guy last year. He's got a kid, he's got a girlfriend, and he's at Kentucky, and he's 235, 240 last year. Everyone in his ear, everyone is saying, go to the pros, you've got a child, go make the money. He decides to come back, puts on 20 pounds, goes and has 17 sacks in the SEC, 17 sacks at Kentucky, and goes and dominates, and he is the only person in his whole circle that was like, I'm going to come back and I'm going to do even better. And now he's a sure thing lock. He was a captain, a senior. Everyone says the talent on the field with this kid is good, and he's going to dominate Sunday at the combine. But the person is the kind of guy you build a team around. And if you're the Jets, that's
great to hear.
I mean, what better thing to hear that this guy might be falling to you at three?
Listen, if you are talking line play, the SEC level of line play is so much higher than the other leagues in college. It's a joke. It's like AAA versus A-ball. If you look, 10 of the first 15 players are coming out of the SEC in the draft.
Every year, too.
Every single year, every lineman, offensive, defensive, is an SEC player. And once in a while, you sprinkle in a Clemson kid. That's basically it.
That's exactly right.
That's it. And then you get a couple of skill guys from all over the place. We understand that. But that's it. That's where you get them from every single year.
And he dominated. He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. He was an All-American.
Yep.
And I know teams that met with him last night. In the
Would you take
process.
Him over Bosa? That's the question.
That's the classic polish. That's a Peyton Manning versus, you know, Ryan Leaf. And I'm not comparing Allen Leaf, but like.
Right, you're just talking about
just polished. Bosa's going to be what Bosa is. There's already a blueprint. Like, if the Niners were to do that, it would be a bit of a surprise, but I don't think anyone would be falling out of their chair. They're that good, both of them both.
All right, Murray could go one. What do you hear about Haskins?
Good, can rip it, threw 50 touchdowns in 1 year in the Big Ten. Great kid. I hear the body was a bit of a disappointment when they do all the measurements and they looked at him in the outfit and they brought him in. But nice kid, hard worker, leader. These are not backhanded compliments. These are positive things. And many teams, I would say more than three that I speak to, like him more than Murray. So
Murray's different. Murray, listen, a lot of teams are going to scratch Murray at 5'10". That's all there is to it. I mean, they can say they're not 5'10" with a small hand. You know what? They're going to. Some teams are going to have him off the board. That's all there is to it. They just
and the fear that if Murray gets hit in the face one time and has a concussion, he goes and plays baseball.
Plays baseball, where they tell me he is an absolute, that within 3 years he'd be batting leadoff and playing center field in the major leagues, is what I was told. So, you know, this is a kid who can't miss. So they said all he does is hit line drives all day. So, you know, so that's it. He's that kind of athlete. I mean, listen, the great ones are great. That's all there is to it. I mean, the ones who are top athletes, they're top athletes. You know, John Havlicek hit, you know, Woody Hayes stood up and said the best quarterback in the Big Ten is John Havlicek when he was at Ohio State. He doesn't play football. He said, you know, and then I asked John Havlicek once. I said, John, did you play baseball? He says, yeah, I hit 571 in the Big Ten. I said, oh, really? Is that all? 571?
Not bad, Hondo.
Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, those kind of athletes, Dave Winfield, John Havlicek, you know, these guys, they can all play more than one sport. You know, Namath was a great baseball player. Dan Marino. Troy Aikman told me the Mets begged him, offered him huge money to sign.
Yeah.
As a pitcher, you know? And he said, yeah. I said, did you throw it fast? He goes, yeah, I threw it real fast. As a matter of fact, I'm sure you did. You know?
Actually.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I did.
Yeah. So, all right, who are the sleeper guys? We're talking with Peter Schrager from Fox. Who are the sleeper guys you're hearing anything about? Anybody interesting?
Yeah, you know, there's always these interesting guys that come out of the woodwork here at the Combine. One of them is a wide receiver at Iowa State named Hakeem Butler. He came in at 6'6". And he had the largest wingspan in the history of the Combine. And it's funny, I talked to a GM yesterday. I said, holy moly, like, this kid is unbelievable physically. Like, if he can catch, he'll be a real good.
I'm Sounds like Plaxico like, Burress.
Exactly right. We'll see. If he can catch, great. If he can't, then whatever. But Hakeem Butler's a name that's going to shoot up some draft boards. The other guy is a guy named Paris Campbell. He's a wide receiver at Ohio State.
His name everywhere. He has been on every sleeper list. He's been on anyone I've asked so far. Paris Campbell has been on everybody's sleeper list. Everybody's.
They say he can run anywhere from a 4.23 to a 4.29 40. And if you're at home and you're driving home and you're like, all right, I don't care about 40 times, at the receiver position, that will get you drafted in the top 15. If you can run a 4.2 40, you're getting drafted, because that is what they're looking for now in the league. The next Tyreek
And there was
Hill,
another kid from Iowa State who was on one of the lists I saw. Montgomery, a
David
running back?
Montgomery.
Running back, yeah. He was another one on the sleeper list. You know about him?
It's a weird running back year. There's no Saquon or Fournette. There's none of that. There's no Dalvin Cook. So it's kind of wide open, and Josh Jacobs is the kid everyone's excited about.
I like
about
him. I talked to him at the Super Bowl. I liked him. I thought he was a pretty good kid.
He's a pretty nice kid, and he's also a great player. He only had 640 rushing yards at Alabama because they spread the ball around so much. But Montgomery is your classic do-everything David Johnson type. Like, I'm going to catch, I'm going to run, I'm going to do it. Roger Craig, that's what they say he is, and he might go in the first round too. But really, really light class of running backs and not a great wide receiver class. What's interesting is there are two different tight ends out of Iowa. All right, one of them.
Well, the first one everybody loves.
T.J. Hockenson is his name.
That guy, everybody loves him. Everybody says he can't miss. Can't miss.
Compare him to Gronkowski, who might be the greatest tight end to ever
play the
game.
Can't miss, they told me.
Cannot miss, they told me. And then the other one, which is not getting as much love, but I think tomorrow when the tight ends work out, he will, is a guy named Noah Fant, who is being described as Jimmy Graham. So the top two tight ends.
Where is he from?
Iowa. They both went to Iowa.
Oh, they both went to Iowa. I didn't hear the second kid. The second kid I didn't hear about. So there's two of them from Iowa?
Tomorrow. He's going to shoot up draft boards tomorrow at his workout. His name's Noah Fant. And they say if the other one is Gronk, who's your machismo blocking tight end but can also catch, this one's Jimmy Graham, can't block a lick, and yet looks like he's a gazelle out there. He's a basketball player, can catch everything in sight. So these are the two guys that everyone's excited about. They both could go in the top 20, they're saying.
All right, give me a little buzz on free agencies. I'm going to figure Lawrence is going to get franchised at worst. We know that. Ford's going to get franchised at worst. We know that. Bell, we know, is going to go. Where do you have Bell going? Packers?
You know, no, I think, Bell, I got two teams I keep an eye on. One of them is the New York Jets. I think I could see that happening.
Boy, I hate them doing that. I hope they don't. I hope they don't do that. But, you know, it could happen. But I don't. So you think the Jets, and who's your other team?
The Ravens.
The Ravens, huh?
I could see Baltimore saying, you know what, let's stick it to Pittsburgh. They've got money to spend, and they're going all out on Lamar Jackson running the ball and doing the Lamar Jackson. They're going to run a Paul Johnson college offense next year.
They're going to have to because the kid couldn't hit you in the back with the ball from 10 paces. I mean, he's awful.
And not only was that playoff game scary, they then decide to get rid of Flacco and just go all in. And they're like, we're getting rid of Crabtree, too, who's one of our best wide receivers, because we can't pay him that because we don't see our offense that way. So Le'Veon Bell to the Ravens is a real interesting fit. And I know it's February and it's early, but it's getting more buzz here. And he's a spiteful kid, and I know that might not help a lot, but like that might even play into it, that I can go and play the Steelers twice a year and get my revenge. The Antonio Brown market, the teams I'm hearing for that, it's going to be a trade, but a lot of Cowboys and Saints and Raiders. That's what the teams I'm hearing with Antonio Brown. And I don't know what you're getting with him. 31 years old.
No Niners with him? No Niners?
No Niners. No, I don't think they're looking for that. I don't think they're still a young team looking to build, and they're going to try to do it the right way. I don't think, just as their locker room is and what John Lynch was saying yesterday on the podium, I don't see Antonio Brown coming to a Niners team that won 4 games last year.
All right, and past that, Earl Thomas, what do you think see for him?
Interesting. The safety market's going to be a fascinating one because the position's kind of been devalued, but Cowboys are an obvious fit. Everyone's been talking about
it. It's a Hall of Fame player. This is a legitimate Hall of Fame player, this guy.
He snapped his leg in half twice, though, now.
I know. I've heard he's okay. Now, if he's healthy, he's a legitimate. I mean, he's Ed Reed good, that guy.
There's maybe no bigger fan of his game when he's healthy than me. I'm just curious with what you're going to pay Earl Thomas. And the Seahawks are not going to be that team. So
no.
We'll see what happens.
Is Russell Wilson on the block or not?
You know what? I was away last week, and I kind of unplugged. And I came back, and I've been asked a lot about that. I guess that was a story.
Well, that was a story that's been out there for like the last 2 weeks.
And obviously his contract situation, he is entering the final year where you can kind of renegotiate. But I'd be really surprised. And the story that I heard, and it comes no one from a source from the NFL, it comes from, you know, barbershop talk that – his wife is a celebrity. She wants to play and live in New York, and she is New York and all that. And I never really read too much into that stuff. I would be shocked if Russell Wilson was on the block. I think the Seahawks build their team around him, and they'll make sure he's taken care of.
Is Clowney stay in Houston and get franchised, or does he move on?
You know what? I would see him getting franchised. With this pass rusher market as it is, if he was to be a free agent, he's going to be so grossly overpaid, or he'll just be overpaid. Every one of these pass rushers is getting franchised and plucked off one by one. If Clowney hits the market, he'll be the bell of the ball.
Yeah, so I figured, and D4's going to get he's going to get franchised. There's no question.
An interesting one here is Tyreek Hill. He's going into his final year next year for his contract, and I think
they
got to
pay him. They have to.
They have to. And guess what? In 2 years, you got to pay Mahomes already. It's not like he's a rookie.
Yep.
So
well, that's why your window closes. Your window closes when you pay the quarterback because you lose all your leverage.
You're exactly right. And the Cowboys, both Dak and Zeke need to get paid. Amari Cooper's in the final year of his contract. So when you look at DeMarcus Lawrence, say, all right, I mean, do we really want to bring him in on some crazy long-term deal, or do we want to save those dollars for those
guys? Yeah, but losing Gregory, they can't lose Lawrence, too.
I know. But in today's, it's funny. I feel like in today's NFL, like, you got to pay for the offense and just hope for the best with the defense. And then you get to the Super Bowl, and the defense wins it.
Yeah, it's true. That's it. You know, they went out and built a defense that could win. That's basically it. They had a defense that played well, and their offensive line held up. That's what really did. But they didn't move the ball a lick all day, let's be honest. The Rams played great on defense, absolutely great. They didn't have open guys anywhere. He went deep. He went deep 7 times.
That's it.
And all 7 times, knocked the ball down. They knocked the ball down on him 7 times when he went to the same receiver deep. He went 0-for-7 in the game, Hogan. He went 7
today?
Times he went deep to him in the game.
I had a great, I'd say almost an hour-long chat with Brian Flores, who was the defensive coordinator. Really, it's a facto of the Patriots. I'd never spoken to him because he's in that Belichick world. You can't get access to these guys. They don't talk. They purposely go and they live like hermits at the combine. And now he's the head coach of the Dolphins. So I'm sitting there talking with him, and I talk with him after the show. Great guy. He's from Brooklyn. I didn't know that. He's a Brownsville native. His parents are from Honduras. And his whole thing was that we empower these guys to feel like no matter what, we're going to prepare them to the point that if you just go out there and play the best of your ability, you will win this football game every single time. And the philosophical stuff that they talk about in New England, it is, they all buy in, and to the point where, as tough as it is to play for Belichick, they trust him and love him so much, because at the end of the day, we're going to win Super Bowls, we're going to be competitive, we're never going to miss the playoffs. And Flores was just saying how if he can bring anything from Belichick, it's going to be humility and team-first stuff, and it's refreshing to hear that. It really is.
It really is. All right, listen, have fun. We'll talk to you again. Thanks very much.
You're the best, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Peter Schrager at the Combines. Watch him on the NFL Network. Does a great job with his stuff. Back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.